When I first decided to bring Beloved Conversations curriculum to our fellowship, I did it because I see anti-racism and anti-oppression work as a crucial act of faith formation, the work of becoming more fully human. In this class, each person is asked to grow, to take risks, to struggle with ambiguity, and to love each other into a bigger sense of self. We were each invited to identify and name what it is that we have learned about race through our experience being socialized in our culture. We were encouraged to unlearn thoughts and behaviors that divide the human family. And we were asked to relearn new skills and ways of being that are aligned with the aspirational tenets of Unitarian Universalism. Together, we formed a learning community with healthy boundaries and rules of engagement that encouraged honest sharing and appropriate risk-taking as we grappled with history and mined our own personal experiences. Beloved Conversations is the embodiment of the spiritual practice of deep listening, listening deeply to the stories that shape the human experience, being gracious in the face of human imperfection, and being curious in times of confusion or disagreement and disappointment. It was my great honor to learn and share and grapple alongside the participants, and I look forward to facilitating the class again next year. For this service, I asked the participants to reflect on what they learned as a result of the class, how they were changed by it. And so now I'm going to invite those speakers to come forward and to share their reflections with you.
Good morning. I'm Steve Bartram. What surprised me about what I learned is that there is much that I do not know, both about myself in relation to people of color and how I think about my whiteness. I'm a military brat, and I lived lots of cultures and places and thought I had a pretty diverse upbringing. Growing up in a suburb of L.A., I played sports with a lot of people of color. I had to face my own fears and anxieties about how I really felt I should act. I have been in situations where I was the lone white person in a group of people of color. There's a good story about that, and I have a very, very good friend who helped me through that. I have been in a position where I've had to act on my beliefs where the opposite was true. I did that in the Marine Corps, kind of focused when you did that. But what this experience really pointed out to me was that I have not done enough. I have a sense that what is in my head is clear. Be honest, act with your heart, and support others. My surprise is that because this fellowship is mostly white, we are our own choir, and I've gotten away from that sort of sense. The examples used in class assumed more diversity than is apparent in our fellowship, so we had to overcome that, and that was kind of a challenge. But it did open my eyes. The experience in class opened me up to two significant things that I'd like to refer back to. First, if I want to develop a better understanding and live an active relationship with more people of color, I have to actually hang out with people of color. Just saying I know people of color is not enough. Oh, I know lots of people of color. Guess what? Look around the room at all us whiteness. How that occurs has been a very cool dialogue. How we change, how we go about doing that, like, has been really, really cool. And members of the committees have all gotten together. And so what we decided to do was to pursue ways to reach out beyond UUFSD and engage in learning. The dialogue started out with, let's go to a church with lots of people of color. Kind of naive. But in any case, it really came down to, and I want to thank Lisa for having helped me through this transition here, and get to the point where we said, look, let's find something that's common to both of us, either to you or to them, and let's go do it. We don't have to say, you know, let's go around and just start looking around at stuff, okay? So when we do this, we're going to ask you to come join us. I have a picture of what it is that I can do and am cautious about how to go about it. I learned in class that it isn't the responsibility of others to teach me as much as it is a process of seeing and hearing and supporting our common humanity. I've always been an avid reader, and this experience led me to Warmth of Other Suns, which I strongly recommend, and Stamp from the Beginning. These are part of several ways I'm trying to get a better grasp of what it means to support Black Lives Matter, as well as actually doing something to help close the gap between my whiteness and the difference of others, because we are the same. Thank you.
There's a lot more people than this morning. I'm used to standing up here and singing or playing the bass, not talking. The thing that surprised me most from my experience in Beloved Conversations was how much institutional racism there is in this country. I knew the obvious stuff already, but the things I take for granted, my learned assumptions, are the real kicker. However, I'm learning that institutional racism is like an onion, that as a layer is peeled away, there's always another layer underneath, more subtle than the last. Part of the learning process for this class was anticipation leading up to the class. I had thoughts like, will I be blamed? It's not my fault I was born a white male. I'm not racist. These thoughts are a defense that gets in the way of awareness and any meaningful change. I was pleasantly surprised that the other people in the group were struggling with many of the same issues that I was. The community of the class took away part of the sting of my growing awareness and helped me look at my participation in institutional white supremacy in an environment of support and common experience. For me, my participation in Beloved Conversations is a step toward awakening and raising my consciousness. I believe that my socialization and male tendency to want to fix things are a defense against awareness and ownership of my role in institutional racism. Privilege is what allows me to believe that I can fix things and contributes to me jumping into things inappropriately when what I really need to do is listen and learn. The Beloved Conversation experience has given me a greater understanding of microaggressions and how I have used them to inadvertently collude in white supremacy. I've been given a push to examine my own stereotypes regarding race and what constitutes racism. It is my job to learn about racism and not expect people of color to school me. A great place to start for me beyond the class was Tim Wise's book, White Like Me, which I highly recommend. I'm changed because I've begun to look at and understand myself and my role as a liberal, privileged white male in our racist culture. I didn't start the problem, but I've helped keep it going through my ignorance and silence. Thank you.
Everybody, I'm Tiffany Fox. For entire decades of my life, I believed that because I was a free-thinking, upstanding white person and with good liberal values, that I was somehow immune. I had been granted immunity from matters having to do with race. I know now that's called white privilege. I told myself that as long as I wasn't racist, as long as I treated everyone with the same respect, I was excused from having to think about race at all. It didn't involve me. It was someone else's battle to fight. I wasn't completely blind or ignorant. I had joined the Peace Corps in service of justice. And I recognized, for example, the ridiculous idea of white people calling for something like a White History Month or other such nonsense created in response to reverse racism. But I also considered Black History Month to be created for Black people to celebrate themselves, rather than as a means of rectifying the overwhelmingly white history I had been taught. I thought of racism on a strictly personal level, rather than on a systemic level, as if racism were merely an unfortunate character trait, rather than a pernicious social norm. It's a norm. It may not be normal, but it's a norm in our nation. As Beloved Conversations taught me, to systemically other individuals who are somehow different, to hold them back in countless ways and then blame them for not fitting in. I see it in the comments from my neighbors on the Nextdoor website, who jump to conclusions and post frantic warnings about a suspicious black man in the area despite having literally no further information on him. I see it in the paper dolls I unthinkingly bought for my daughter at the United Nations gift store. All the light-skinned dolls from Russia and Japan have actual names, whereas little African girl lacks not only a name, but a country. I see it in my own well-intended but clumsy behavior, asking Latina women on the bus to help me practice my Spanish, which is contrary to popular belief, not their job, or telling a black student he is articulate and then realizing later the weighty and awkward connotations that word must have for a person who is likely treated on the regular as if he is a criminal or a thug. It's a messy and complicated and painful process to notice and acknowledge these ugly norms, but it is my responsibility as a white person who benefits from them every day to notice and acknowledge them. And it is my responsibility to resist them in every way I can. I have not been granted immunity. We have not been granted immunity. So long as we profit from a racist system, we are all racists. It's our battle to fight. But we won't necessarily be leading the charge. And that's something that's hard for a lot of us white folks to swallow, this business of letting someone else take the lead. The biggest lesson I learned from Beloved Conversations was that listening is the most important work I can do right now. Listening to voices who have for too long been silenced, listening to the needs of people who have for too long been ignored by free-thinking, upstanding liberal white people like me. Listening and understanding, seeing what I could not see before, is my work now. But on a good day, I might persuade another person to open his or her eyes and to stop dismissing racism and bigotry as other people's problems and see that oppression hurts all of us. It hurts all of us. Since this class, I've even had white men open up to me about their pain, and that's been profound for me. It benefits all of us, and that sometimes the best way I can love is to let someone else show me the way.
Good morning. My name is John Sherman, and I'm pleased to speak about what I learned and how my thinking has been changed by the Beloved Conversation meetings. First, they caused me to think and to do some reading about the treatment of others in our country's history. And by others, I mean those who look or act or have a different cultural heritage or religion than that of the current dominant race and culture. At one time or another, immigrants who were German, Italian, Spanish, Russian, Swedes, Chinese, Japanese, other Asians, Jews, and most recently immigrants from Mexico, Central America, and the Middle East have been resisted by our national leaders. All these immigrants, along with blacks and Native Americans, were, at one time or another, considered to be pollutants to the purity of our national Anglo-Saxon tribe. Now, I'd like to see a show of hands of anyone who fits any of these categories I mentioned. It's most of us. We are truly, have become a melting pot. Yes, humankind is a tribal species, and overcoming our natural tendency to distrust or fear or attack those who are outside our dominant tribe is a continuing challenge that we will have to face in order for our world to one day be one tribe. Beloved Conversations also made me aware of the microaggressions, which are words or actions that are subtle or indirect expressions of bigoted or discriminatory views or attitudes that most of us commit without even thinking. And if we commit them without even thinking, then we probably don't even remember them. I frankly don't remember any microaggression that I've committed against a person of color. Doesn't mean I haven't done it. But I do remember one that was a lesson for me that I'd like to share. It occurred in 1978 when I was meeting with a client in Washington, D.C., and an attractive woman walked into his office. Assuming she was his secretary, I asked if she would get me a cup of coffee. She coolly responded that she would show me to the kitchen where I could get my own. I did that, and when I returned to my client's office, he was smirking, and he said, "John, she's my boss and a high-ranking member of the National Organization of Women." I was quite embarrassed, but he laughed, and he said, "You're not the first to make that mistake. Don't worry about it." So Beloved Conversations brought that back to mind, and I started recalling other microaggressions I might have committed, which made me more aware of my internal biases. Finally, in the hope that we can better understand our Black brothers and sisters who are seeking our agreement that their lives matter as much as anyone else's, I would like to see our predominantly white congregation reach out in some way to people of color in our or other neighboring communities, and some of us are working on a way to make that happen. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Barbara Walker, and when I told my friends that I was going to be taking the Beloved Conversations class, they responded with, "Why? You're not a racist." And it really made me think about it, that for one thing, the class really didn't have a prerequisite that you were a racist or not. And so I didn't have to decide. But why I took it was because I wanted to take this opportunity, which doesn't come along very often, to really work on a personal and interpersonal exploration of racism and white privilege. Usually you're going to just take a history class or read some books or watch a movie, but this time we got to discuss our experiences and make some mistakes and experience new things and see how other people felt. And it was all in a safe environment with people that were on the same journey. So I have, found it. The class really was everything I thought it would be, that I would get to talk with other people. And we had a lot of different types of learning modes where we would small groups, reading, large groups, panel discussions, and a lot of one-on-one thinking and journaling. So we worked through our ideas and our fears and tears, and we made some mistakes. And what I came out in the end, I was more aware of racism and white privilege in the real world. By looking inward, I became more aware of what was going on every day in my life. And I began opening up to listening instead of just thinking about everything. And I think the class really emphasizes that. It's not really, again, up to other people to teach us about this. This is our homework. This is our growth inside of ourselves, and it's small ways that we're going to be doing it. So what I also learned is that I can hurt people and just have a loving naivete, and that can hurt people if I haven't learned to look at things more from their point of view. Sometimes it's just all that matters really is just saying hello and reaching out to somebody when they're maybe on the outside looking in. And this is one of the things that I've been doing more because of this class. I've been taking those interpersonal risks a little bit. And normally when I'm going to work, I'm riding in the elevator and with another person. And if it's someone of color, I'm just kind of like, should I say something? I'm going to say the wrong thing. I want to reach out. And now I just don't care about that talk. I just say, hi, how was your commute? And then we get in a conversation, and there's a relaxation with everybody. We just feel more comfortable. And I see it's just like engaging people in a different way and being open to that. And if I make a mistake, then I learn. And people of color have been hearing these things their whole life. And if I hear somebody coming back to me in a way that I don't like, I just have to be comfortable with that. So many of us in the class did not want it to end. At first when we started it, we thought, oh, it's 8 weeks all afternoon on Sunday. How am I ever going to do this? But by the end, we wanted to keep going. And we didn't want it to end, and it really hasn't. I think a lot of people are more aware and moving on. And the class reaffirmed my commitment, really, to personal growth and do the work, to be brave, and most important, don't look away.
I want to thank all of those who were brave enough to come up here and to speak and to share your heart. I know that took courage, and thank you all for doing that. So we are continuing the conversations. Ann Clarkin and Robin Sales and I have joined up to form a new racial justice task force to focus on continuing these conversations. In the next few months, that we will be hosting a couple of film and discussion nights and a book study. And the next film we're going to show is called Mudbound. We're going to show it on April 13th. It's a Friday night, so Friday the 13th in April. And then we will also be reading as a congregation. Anybody who would like to read Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates, we'll be discussing it together in May, date to be determined. But watch your newsletter. We'll have regular updates. And then I'll be facilitating another round of Beloved Conversations in about a year from now. So I hope if you haven't... if you weren't able to participate in the last class, you might consider joining this next one. And I hope that the participants who shared with you gave you a good taste of what that would be like. There will be an opportunity if you are going up to Camp de Benneville Pines with this congregation the first weekend in April. There will be a workshop there that is a little taste of this Beloved Conversations class. So you'll have another opportunity to put your toe in and see what you think. Thank you, Christy. the more willing we are to have these conversations together, to step into uncomfortable space, to be willing to make mistakes, to be willing to push through fears and be awkward and try out new things, the more we have the capacity to break down these barriers that we keep between ourselves and other people. whether it's people of color or anyone that we sort of see as other. So this is important work. It's holy work. You know, it's the work of love. And it is for all of us to do. It's all of our spiritual practice and opportunity. So I invite you to join in all of the opportunities that we have to do this work together. Let's do it. All right. Amen.